Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody shout glory. Oh, we can do better than that. Somebody shout glory to God. Our God is good. Our God is awesome. Our God is amazing. Praise God. And we have the wonderful privilege now just to be able to continue just to dig further into his presence by going into his word. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, never lose your reverence for God's word. And if you don't already have some, well, today is a good day to get it. You always want to approach God's word anytime with God with a great sense of expectation. Don't let the doldrums kind of set in. Just be like, well, I'm just going through a routine. I'm just going to church or something of that nature. You want to demand from yourself that this is an opportunity for me to meet with Almighty God, to spend some time in his presence, to be transformed by him so that I can accomplish his will. So right there where you are, lift up two hands under heaven with me. Come on, let's just take about 10 seconds just to bless the Lord God. Father, we bless you and magnify your wonderful name. We worship you, Lord. We give you all honor. We give you all glory. We give you all praise. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your shalom, your peace, praise God, where there's nothing missing. There's nothing broken. There's nothing out of place, praise God. Your word in us is like a fire shut up in our bones, praise God, and we are ready to release it in Jesus' name. So thank you so much, Father, for this opportunity you've given us today in Jesus' wonderful name. If you agree, shout hallelujah. Come on, even online, come on, somebody shout hallelujah out there. Put some hearts up, hand claps, something, praise God. Our God is good and he is amazing. Listen, we've been dealing with for the past now couple of weeks this whole message series of Love Reigns. Anyone been blessed thus far? I know I've been blessed thus far, praise God. Love reigns. God's love over our lives reigns over everything. Because of the fact that Jesus died, obviously, he was crucified and scourged first, but then was buried and resurrected from the grave. Now, that love act there changed everything for you and I. It set us up for victory. Oh, okay, that's about, I guess, one or two people that like victory. Like everybody else like to lose. But what Jesus did set us up for victory. Absolutely. Set us up for victory, praise God, in your body. Sets you up for victory in your family. Sets you up for victory in your finances. Sets you up for victory in your service. Come on, come on, come on. Sets you up for victory in your giving, praise God. Sets you up for victory all across the board. And then on last week, we were just looking at how that love even reigns over our past. And now if you do not remember one scripture, remember this, hold on to it for the rest of this year. Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Three words. Jesus said this, remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. You can't change your past. So don't torment your present and ruin your future by going back and always saying, woe is me. How can God use me today? God. Watch this. God loves to make a masterpiece out of what we would consider to be a mess. It's his speciality. It's what he's done for you. It's what he's done for me. And when you look through, you know, the Bible, you see a litany of individuals with issues, major issues, and God still kind of steps in and says, now, I want to use you. And what was the difference maker? Those individuals knew how to then surrender. That's where we always have to come back to. There are no grown people in the kingdom. So once you start feeling grown, you already know you've made an exit. Come on back to the kingdom of God. Yeah, glory. So let's get into something here today, though. Let's get into this matter of love reigning. Yes. Reigns in our life, reigns over our past, but it also reigns right here over our present, who we are right now. If we will allow it to, this love can carve out a completely different path, a path so rewarding for you and I that it would make you want to slap somebody. Somebody said, I already wanted to slap somebody. I don't need the love to do that. Boy, not that kind of slap, of course, praise God. This is a heart, though, where we want to make sure that we learn how, watch this, to line up with God. Someone say, be in line. Say it strong. Be in line with God. You know, sometimes you'll see if you're driving down the highway or something and you're behind a car, you'll see a car that's driving crooked. like the front end is this way and the back end is that way. And then they're going down, it's pulling them to one side. You know what that's called, right? That car is out of alignment. It looks funny. It's wearing out the tires, you know, much faster, for one, and doing some other damage as well. Well, that's a simple fix. You take it to the mechanic, let them, you know, realign the car so that it can proceed down the road and the highway easily the way it was designed to. Well, I got news for you. You and I, if you don't watch it, you can be going down the road of your life crooked. Come on now, professing that we love Jesus and all of that. Come on, reading our Bible and all of that and still crooked. Man, this is a day where we want to allow the love of God to rule and reign over our present, to make a shift and make sure that we stay in line. Watch this. As someone who's going to surrender to God, that means you have to submit yourself for constant realignment. How many of y'all remember coming up playing the game Simon Says? Oh, yeah, I got a couple of folks. Let me test your skills. Let me test your skills real quick. Let me just see. Let me see. Simon Says, raise your hands. Simon Says, put your hands down. Simon Says, wiggle your head. Simon Says, nod your head. Simon Says, raise your hands again. Now put them down. Oh, I saw something. Oh, I got a couple of folks who are already out on the first round, praise God. You can put your hands down. Simon says, Pastor says, somebody said. But catch, what was the emphasis of the game? To make sure, watch this, that we are listening, being attentive, and watch this, only following the instructions that, let me put it in these terms, that are preceded by God. See, somebody else may come along and say, do this, that, or the other, but wait a minute, let me put it this way, what did Jehovah say? Come on, not Simon says, what Jehovah say? Amen. Come on, what Jesus say? But now once he says it, then your role and my role is to perform it. Otherwise, we're out. So let me give you four things to get into and really meditate on for today and all this week. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 says this, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God." Some translations actually say sons of God, which denotes just a greater sense of maturity. Here's the first point to focus on. Choices reveal who reigns in our life. The choices you make, choices I make, it reveals who really reigns. So we can talk about love reigns, but the choices we make really gives us the indication of who's reigning. The things we choose to do or not do show who we are really listening to. Jesus says, forgive. Your emotions say, you don't understand. Jesus said, isn't that interesting? I created your emotions. God did. I saw the situation that's got you all flustered before it ever even happened. As a matter of fact, before you and the other person was even born. And I said, forgive. Wow, got quiet already. Got quiet. Come on, don't let that happen here on the front row. Jesus says, choices reveal who reigns in our life. If we look back on past decisions, who would we conclude was in charge? Now, I know I can look back on some past decisions in my life, and I already know that wasn't Jesus in charge. Come on now, that was Anthony Crawford. Come on, that was AC. Y'all don't know about AC. Y'all don't want to know AC, trust me. Huh? That was Craw. That was another nickname or whatever the case, you know. That's the one I was listening to. How many of our past decisions were a result of an obedience to God? Or how many of those choices were a result of obedience to ourselves? Our choices reveal who we're really listening to. Now again, the Word of God says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God, watch this, all who are listening to the Spirit of God, it says those are the children of God. Those are the sons and daughters of God. Who are you listening to? Come on, who are you listening to? Come on, let me start messing with you. Who are you listening to? You listening to Black Lives Matter? That's what you're listening to, huh? You listening to this supremacist, that supremacist, whatever. And it's a shame today that the quote-unquote church of the Lord Jesus Christ listens more to that than what Jesus says. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your true and proper worship. Come on, we can hang out right there for a minute. We haven't got into true worship or proper worship until we've presented our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. Now watch this. The only way you can please God is, okay, let me do it this way. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. See, your faith is always going to be involved in your worship. Otherwise, it's not pleasing God. Interesting, though. Paul begins these instructions here in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, by saying, let me put it this way. He gives us a particular lens to look through. Really, everything that's getting ready to come in the rest of this chapter and some other parts of the book as well, you got to look through the lens of what he says right here up front. He says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, watch this, in view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy, offer your bodies, yourselves as a living sacrifice. In view of God's mercy. What's God's mercy? Come on, mercy is wonderful, praise God. Mercy is wonderful. Look at the contrast of things. Justice is when you get what you deserve. That's justice. Mercy is when you get blessed when you deserve justice. You deserve to get what you deserved. But mercy comes in and says, no, I'm bringing the goodness anyway. Some of you all can attest, just like I can attest, there's been some times in your life where you know you should have got the justice, or let me use a Bible word, judgment. You know you should have got it. Come on, I got any honest folks that showed up here on a Sunday? Anybody out there? You know you should have got it. And instead, what you walked into was one of the greatest blessings of your life. That's the mercy of Almighty God. And Paul here says, now what I'm getting ready to say to you, you got to look at it through that lens. Through this mercy, this goodness that God has set up and in store for you and I. Even when, watch this, we don't deserve it. See, a lot of people think, you know, they're blessed because they're so good. Praise God for your goodness. But that blessing stems from the mercy and grace of Almighty God. Yeah. You know, when I, a few years ago, my family and I, we went out west, so we stopped, you know, at the Grand Canyon for a few days. Had always wanted to go, had never been. It's just a tremendous, you know, trip. And I mean, seeing the pictures and so forth on TV and books, I mean, it's nothing like being there. And then, of course, in places like that, in other places around the world, you know, you have those metal, you know, contractions that are set up there where you can put maybe a little change into it, and then you look through, it's a magnifier. And now, all of a sudden, we're looking through on that, and we're seeing things, you know, from a distance, but we're seeing it up close. I mean, changing our view and changing our perspective raised our appreciation. See, when Paul says here, look at this in view of God's mercy. See, when you look at it in that light, it should change your perspective, but then it should raise your appreciation to recognize it's only by the grace of God that I go. It's only by the grace of God that I'm here. Some of y'all can attest to it. Some of you would have wrecked your family if it was not for the grace of God. Come on now. Some of you would have committed suicide if it was not for the grace and mercy of Almighty God. You would have given up. You'd have thrown in a towel. You'd have done all kinds of things. But there continued to be this presence of God there that kept you now pulling you and rescuing you. In view of God's mercy, praise God, Paul says here, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, interesting enough, sacrifice is something that obviously the Jews of that day understood very well, because they were constantly going into the temple. They're constantly, you know, now going and they're slaughtering animals. They're making these sacrifices. There's blood everywhere. They understood this is the only way now that we can effectively worship God. So Paul, understanding their understanding, then kind of comes to them and says, all right, now listen, you have to present your body as a living sacrifice. Now, immediately that communicated to them that, well, that means something's got to die. But it sounds like a contradiction of terms. A living sacrifice? A living sacrifice. Sacrifice got to die. How can it be a living sacrifice? Because you got to die daily. You have to die daily. Truth be told, a living sacrifice is probably more difficult than just a regular sacrifice. Because once you kill that regular sacrifice, it's dead. A living sacrifice, listen, has the choice to get up anytime it wants to. Now, I'll speak for myself. I won't speak for you. But there's been some times when my sacrifice got up. I come on over here and I talk to my man, you know, Dr. Wusu here. I mean, there's times when my sacrifice got up. And I had to make a decision. Wait a minute, who am I going to surrender to? Am I going to surrender to him or am I going to surrender to Jesus? Come on now. Jesus said, not Simon said, Jesus said. So I got to put that back down again. It's a living sacrifice. I mean, every day you and I have to make a choice to stay surrendered to God. And listen, the day that we don't is the day that we rule. Now, you got to ask yourself the question, whose results do I want in the course of my day? Do I want my results? And some people are okay with that. Some people are like, yeah, I want my results. I want what I can do. Okay. But I would implore you, go higher than that. Go further than that. Desire God's, you know, will for your life throughout the course of the day. That's a great prayer in the morning. Father, what is it that you need of me today? Father, what can I do for you today? Father, is there anyone or that you need for me to just kind of, you know, give into, sow into, pour into? I'm here for you, sir. That's how we live, as a living sacrifice. That's God's heart. You know, interesting, when Paul talks about here, you know, this living sacrifice, a good scripture, Old Testament reference to kind of, you know, look back to, where I believe even Paul is kind of communicating this same kind of heart, is right here in Psalm 51, verse 16 through 17. It says, for you delight not in sacrifice, or else I would give it. Now, wait a minute. This sounds confusing here. First, living sacrifice. Now, the psalm is saying you don't want sacrifice. Stay with me. You find no pleasure in burnt offering. My sacrifice, the sacrifice acceptable to God, is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, broken down with sorrow for sin and humbly and thoroughly penitent. Such, O God, you will not despise. This is David speaking here. He says, my sacrifice here is now just to have, watch this, a broken spirit or a broken and contrite heart. Now, when we talk about a broken spirit, watch this, your spirit as designed by God is not broken, it's whole. But what he is, you know, referring to again is that you don't want grown people, God. This is why Jesus, come on now. You remember Jesus taught this. He says, now, you know, if you're going to approach and really kind of come into the kingdom of God, you got to come like a child. I told you, there's no grown people in the kingdom. And David was recognizing this, that, you know what, hey, God, you really don't want all that stuff. All that stuff is good. You ask for us to bring it, but if we bring it, but we don't have a heart that's surrendered, says it means nothing. That's why in other places you will see there in the Old Testament, you know, God makes this statement, and he makes it actually to the very first king of Israel, Saul. He says, now, obedience is better than sacrifice. So you do all this stuff that makes everybody around you think you're submitted. He says, but I know your heart. God said, you can fool some people all the time. You can fool yourself most of the time. You can't fool me at all. But what Jesus has done for us allows us to reign over our present right here. Watch this. Where we can make decisions every day that bring honor and glory to God. It's really unfortunate today that many who identify with Christ have no real spiritual habits, have very few Christian habits. I mean, some studies show, like in this country, I think this was a few years ago, that only 11% of people in the country read their Bible every day. So now that's the whole country. So now you narrow that down to, you know, Christians. Okay, that may go up a little bit. A little. We got some habits that are not there. See, now a professional athlete, they understand certain habits they have to have. Huh? Come on, they're getting up, working out in the morning. Come on, eating certain things to fuel their body properly. Getting a little rest. Go back to another workout, you know, maybe an afternoon. Eat a little something, refuel the body, give it some rest. Might even do some extra things, you know, at night. They have certain habits in place, watch this, that helps to work them towards their goal. Well, what's your goal? What's my goal as a believer? Our goal always should be, watch this, to be just like the one who laid his life down for us. You know, one passage, Paul talks about it, 1 Timothy, you know, that godliness is profitable for all. Body exercise is good for some things. He says, but godliness is profitable to all. Godliness is this case of being with God and following what God says. Come on, being one with God and yielding to what he says. Godliness. Now listen. Since I'm right here, I'll go here and then I'm going to jump right off of this. Our society today wants godliness without submission to God. And you can't have it. It's never going to transpire. There's always going to be chaos, confusion, and the advent of more laws. Let you meditate on that last one for a minute. I said I was going to jump off of this. I got there and now I'm off. I'm back. I'm back. Hey, everybody. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Second point, I believe this is. Changing your patterns now will change your life. So again, we're talking about letting this love reign over our present right now. You have patterns and I have patterns. You want to identify the patterns in your life to make sure, watch this, these are patterns that Simon says, or in other words, Jesus says. Not patterns that Anthony says. Not patterns that, you know, whatever your name is. What are the patterns in your life? Paul keeps going on there in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, familiar passage. I love this verse. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Praise God. Interesting enough, through this process of what Paul describes here of transformation, this is how you're able to test, identify, and approve what is God's good will, his acceptable will, his perfect will for your life. Now, I don't know about you. I mean, good is good. Acceptable is acceptable. But when you can get, you know, the mucho gusto, come Come on now, why not just go for it and get it, praise God. When it's right there for you, watch this. If I say, hey, you know, up here on the table, there's a $100 bill, there's a $20 bill, and there's a $1 bill. You can only take one. Take whichever one you want. Nobody in here is going to take the dollar. No one's going to take the dollar. Everyone's going to be like, give me that $100. That's $100 of them dollars. That's $100 George Washington's. Because, wait a minute. Everybody's going to go for the best. It's there. So now, here is a case where transformation helps us to identify what's God's best will for our life. And then, just like that $100 bill, come on, choose it. Choose life. That's what God is saying. Come on, choose that. But you got to be careful, though, to resist the patterns that are so prevalent in our world. I mean, there's patterns that obviously of greed, selfishness, you know, self-centeredness. I just go all down the line that creeps into the church. Here I go again. I'm about to go again. So I'm going to come over and I'm come back. One thing that frustrates me so much about the church is that we are so reactionary. We respond to issues in our society more times than not just reacting because others outside of the church want us to react a certain way, rather than leading. There's a difference. Let me come back. I'm back again. Hey, sorry about that. Left again. Praise the Lord. Now listen, patterns are something that we can identify. And if we can identify it, we can change it. So let's go back to school for a minute. I believe we have a little something that we can show you here. We're going to test your cognitive, you know, skills here. So we can bring up the first. And then, there we go. That's not now. I see a basketball. I see a football. I see another basketball. I see a football. What do you think is going to come after that football? Another basketball. You can see the pattern. If you can see it, if you can identify it, you can also then change it. Okay, let's look at another one. Let's test another one. Y'all doing good. Everybody got 100% stars on the forehead of everybody. Now, here we go. Now, we got an apple. We got a pineapple. We got an orange. We got a banana. And then we have an apple again, a pineapple. What do you think is coming next? It's the orange. Look at that. You all are phenomenal. You all are amazing. Come on, put your hands together right there. Yes, 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 yes. All right, here we go. I'm going to give you one more. God, think y'all got this. Come on, one more. Here we go. Oh, pizza. Somebody said I'm getting hungry around here. We got the cheeseburger. We got a Greek salad. That's what that looked like to me. And then we got pizza again. So what do you think is coming next? It's the burger. Now, if you said salad, I'm taking your star away. It's the burger. Watch this. Patterns, just like, you know, these kind of patterns just shown you on the screen, there's patterns in all of our lives. And if you can identify the pattern, you can pretty much identify what's going to come next. Okay, let me bring it home. You've seen in your past that you've gotten involved with individuals that are crazy. Can we just talk that are crazy? So you got the connection with crazy, and then you got chaos, and then you got, you know, just strife. So now watch this. That relationship ends, but then you pick up with somebody else that's crazy. Come on now. The pattern is there. We can see what's getting ready to come next. Here comes the chaos. Here comes the extreme stress. So now the issue here is not just to continue to repeat the pattern. The issue is to identify and say, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. What does Jesus say here? Come on, Simon says, what does Jesus say here? I don't think Jesus wants me connected with crazy. I know he doesn't want chaos, and I don't have to be overwhelmed and stressed. So now, watch this, God. How do I change the pattern? And what Paul says here is it was by the transforming of your mind, the renewing of your mind. This is that realignment that you have to submit yourself to every single day, praise God. be very careful of these patterns. So now, let me move forward because my time is running. Let me give you a third component here. Learn how to trade in your will. Anyone ever traded in a car before? Got a few folks you can trade it in. You know, the general principle of trading in a car is that you're taking that car and you're trading it in for something else. Nobody really typically, well, I guess it may happen from time to time, but most of the time, no one is trading in their car to get a car that is worse. I mean, you're kind of like, I'm trading this, you know, 2015 in for 2021. I wouldn't encourage you to do that, but just for an example. We trade in something, we use the value of it, and then what we get in return is actually of a greater value. Learn how to trade in your will. Luke 22, verse 39 to 42. Here, Jesus is in the garden. He is perplexed heavily about the next step of what it is before him. He's been conducting this thing as the Messiah, as the Christ now for just about 3 years. But now he's coming up, watch this, on the crucial point. Come on, the climax, the season finale. And Jesus has a moment talking to his father. It says, Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, pray that you will not fall into temptation. Now, that's a good side lesson. You want to resist temptation? Keep an active prayer life. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. Now, he couldn't have been too far from them because somebody heard him. And he wasn't whispering because somebody heard him. And he says this, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. But now here's the trade-in. Here's the trade-in. Yet not my will, but yours be done. It's called, you know, kind of in theological settings, it's called a prayer of consecration. But what Jesus does here is like, I'm trading my will in. I kind of want it to be one way. I really would like that. Come on, anyone ever had that kind of before God? You kind of pray to God and you laid out for God how to do it? Come on, you laid it out. You gave him the dates, the times, and so forth. This is what Jesus is doing right here. But then he trades in his will. He says, now that's kind of what I kind of wanted and was hoping. But at the end of the day, I give you my will to take on yours. And Jesus understood, and this is what I want you to understand, is that he got something of greater value. Anytime you trade in your will, what you're getting back is of far greater value. Learn to trade your will in, and listen, love will reign supreme. It will reign big, praise God. Here's a good statement I like here. The ultimate outcome of a sacrificial life and a renewed mind is the ability to distinguish the will of God for your present life. Let me say that again. The ultimate outcome of a sacrificial life and a renewed mind is the ability to distinguish the will of God for your present life. Everybody. That's present, everyone that's watching online, all of us have a desire to see God's will come to pass. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. So now what Jesus says, not Simon, but what Jesus says is, well, live a sacrificial life where you learn how to surrender to me daily. Renew your mind so that you're changing the patterns. All of us got some patterns that were embedded into us. Come on, I got some patterns from Detroit, and I ain't been, you know, living in Detroit for almost 30 years. But I got some patterns that I have to constantly work against. Because I recognize, oh, that's not what Jesus says. So we want to be able to distinguish the will of God where our businesses are concerned, where our marriage and family is concerned, you know, where investments are concerned. Come on, This thing works in every arena of life. Let's see. Proverbs chapter 3. Here's a familiar passage. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do. See, that's trading in. And he will show you which path to take. Got to know how to trust, though. Watch this. When we trust in the Lord and question our understanding, we begin to see the straight paths that God has laid before us. Understand this. Trusting God and questioning our understanding. Now, what people, we tend to do is we trust ourselves and we question God's understanding. Well, God, this is 2021. As if God doesn't know the calendar. We tend to trust ourselves, our understanding, and we question God. And God says, no. It's just the opposite. Trust me, question you. Come on, say it with me. Trust me, question you. Yeah. Trust God, question yourself. Learn how to have that principle. Now watch this. When you are realigned with God, you will look more like him. And you'll be able to trust you too. But that's a whole another message right there in Jesus' name. So be very, very careful. Trust is really, though, this matter of understanding, appreciating, and embracing love. It's period. You know, my wife and I, we have four, you know, awesome, you know, children. Young people. I can't even really almost call them children anymore. Young ones. And we found that probably the most challenging lesson to get them to embrace is simply the fact that we're telling you to do this, that, or the other because we love you. What we are hoping is that they will catch it and watch this, trust us. Trust us. Now, they may be thinking, mom, dad, you just don't want me. You just don't. No. Understand. Everything, not most things, not some things, everything that we are saying and doing for you comes from this place of love. So even if you don't necessarily agree, learn to trust us. It's probably one of the lessons you have to just, as a parent, you have to continue to try to reinforce. You know, without going into a whole lot of detail, had an incident not that long ago. And, you know, one of the children kind of wanted to do, you know, X, Y, and Z. And just kind of like, no, we don't think so. And of course, you know, we're looked at like, all of that. And then maybe a few days go by and it became very evident that was a bad situation that they wanted to go into. And they quickly realized like, oh, you all were right. It's like, it's just because we love you. Just because we love you. And my prayer is that, watch this, hopefully, you know, all of our children will catch that, wait a minute, all that they're saying is because they love us. Listen, all that God is saying to you, Simon says, Jesus says, it's because he loves us. So therefore, have a sense of trust. To lay your pride down. Have a sense of trust to put your attitude down. Have a sense of trust, watch this, to do marriage and family his way according to his prescription. Have a sense of trust. He's not trying to hurt you. Just like no parent here is trying to hurt your child. You're telling them things because you love them. And that's where trust emanates from. The fact that we recognize God loves us wonderfully. Let's end right here on Romans chapter 8, verse 12 to 14. Message translation says this. So don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life 1 cent? Come on, you don't owe it nothing. There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. Somebody say, get on with it. Absolutely. God's spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. Come on, so give that those old patterns, you know, a nice, you know, burial. Come on, you want to have a little, you know, service for them, that's fine. Be like, you know what? We used to do some things back, especially when I was a, you know, youth, you know, pastor and so forth. We would take, you know, like, you know, stuff that was sparking and initiating a bad pattern in the life of our students, and we would have a service, and we would burn that stuff. We burning music, we burning, you know, little black books, we burning, you know, pornographic magazines, or whatever the case may be, whatever it was, burning it, saying goodbye. It's one of the best things you could do. Come on now, bury that stuff. Bury it and get on with your new life, because God's spirit is beckoning. There are things for you and me to do, and there are places for you and I to go. Father, we give you thanks for your continued presence. We thank you for your love, Father. We choose to allow it to reign in our lives, not just simply over our past, but also our present right here. The patterns that try to spring up in our life, patterns that have caused us hurt and pain, Father, help us to identify them. And Father, as we identify them, then give us the courage and the wisdom to change them, to submit them unto you, praise God. To trade in our will for yours, yeah, that we may indeed be transformed and then able to really recognize what your perfect plan and will is for our lives. We love you, sir. Thank you so much for your awesome mercy and your grace. It has changed everything. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Now, where every head is bowed, every eye closed in prayer, just for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's talking or doing anything like that. Even at home, just kind of reverence this moment right here. Because just like what we just finished reading, God's spirit is beckoning. Come on, there's places for you to go. There's people for you to see. There's things for you to do. But you have to know how to listen to his voice. So if you are here, present, or if you're online, you know, connected with us, and listen, you've never come into a relationship with Almighty God. I'm not talking about religion, but I'm talking about this relationship where now you have traded in your will for his. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. I'm not saying that you are a bad person, good person, whatever the case may be. I'm just simply saying you're missing out on the most important relationship. There's no way, watch this, there's no way you will ever be able to clearly identify his perfect will without coming into relationship with him. So if that's you, my heads are bowed, eyes are closed in prayer. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. Do this for me. If that speaks to your heart and you desire me to pray for you and with you, whether you're online or here in the auditorium, would you just let me know by just lifting up one hand under heaven right there where you are? And I'll be glad to pray for you. I'll be glad to pray with you on today. Praise God. Our God is good. He's awesome. He's amazing. Now, you may be at home saying, well, you can't see me. You're right. I can't see you, but God sees you. And this is an exercise of your faith to say, you know what, I surrender. So if you didn't raise your hand, but you know you should have, just shoot it up. So I know to include you in on this prayer. Yeah. And then you can let us know right there in the chats. Just say, yeah, I decided. Go ahead, you can put some hearts up and so forth. We'll know. So we can pray for you. We can pray with you. This is what I'm going to ask. Everyone in the house, everyone there, you online, lift up two hands under heaven. Come on, we surrender. We surrender. Say this out loud with me. Dear Father God, thank you so much for your mercy. I recognize I deserved judgment, but I got your blessing in the form of your Son, Jesus, who lived for me, who died for me, and who rose for me. Today, Jesus, I trade in my will and I embrace you as my Lord as my master, as my king, as my savior, as my everything. I turn my back on sin and I embrace your plan. Amen. Come on, somebody just rejoice right there for a moment. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory and honor to the Most High God. Hallelujah. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer for out of the sincerity of your heart, here present or certainly online, come on, you've just stepped right over into God's kingdom. Come on, you're just as much a part of God's family as myself or anyone else that you may know as a Christian, pastors, apostles, or bishops, or whoever. All because of the decision that you've made to surrender. Now listen, as I encourage you, it's a daily decision. And it's a decision, quite frankly, you have to make throughout the course of a day. Because if you don't, that living sacrifice will try to pop up and take over. Stay surrendered. If you didn't already, you know, those of you online, please be sure to let us know, you know, that you were in agreement in this prayer by just typing right there into the chat the word decided, or you'll see a link that you can click. Also, you can text the word decided to the number 954-280-2076 as well, so that we know how to pray for you and the like. And certainly, as you do that, we want to put a gift into your hands. It's an electronic devotional, an e-devotional. It's for 7 days. It's called A Fresh Start. So when you text the information or text the word, you know, decided to the number, we'll send you the link for that. Begin it today. It will help you be stronger in God, exercising some spiritual disciplines. If you are present and you'd like to get a hold of one of those devotions, just simply ask one of our leaders as you're exiting. Be glad to put one into your hands as well. Someone say it with me, God is good, all the time. And all the time, God is good. Hallelujah. Father, may your blessing rest mightily upon everyone that's present, every family that's represented here, present, and online as well. May we continue, Father, to allow your love to reign over our present and change the patterns in our life so that they line up with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Be blessed and have an awesome week.